You're listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Catesy, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse.
I'm Jamie.
And with us today, we have Abesh from Rooms and all sorts of other musical projects. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Abesh.
Thanks for having me.
Very excited to have you here. We are going to talk about the new record, Don't Be Yourself, which came out in December, almost a month ago.
December 11th.
Just over a month ago.
Yeah.
And all sorts of other things. We're going to talk about the band, some of the members who are not here. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, but we're also going to listen to some music. So, Besh, which is the first track you would like to introduce our listeners to from Don't Be Yourself?
Oh, from Don't Be Yourself.
Yeah, let's just...
let's take a look here.
Let's look at the set list together.
Yeah, how about... I guess we could do Don't Be Yourself. How about...
Cool. So, the title track from the record, Don't Be Yourself. That's as good a place to start as any.
Why not?
Here it is on the Vancouver Mixtape. Don't Be Yourself, the title track from the new record by Rooms, and we have Besh in studio here on the Vancouver Mixtape to talk with us about the new record. Welcome again.
Thanks.
I think Jamie as well have been following your music in one form or another for a long time. We were talking on the way in about the Greenbelt Collective, which I think is probably my first... The oldest of your projects that I'm familiar with. Things have changed so much since then in so many ways, obviously, including this project Rooms going from sort of that aside project there to your current musical endeavor.
I mean, the Greenbelt was maybe my first band ever outside of like high school music, so... It was a really... I mean, I was like at a really funny age where you're just so inspired by everything. And, anyway, yeah. I don't know what else to say. We were talking about all the LPs getting thrown in the dumpster like a year ago or something. So, yeah. I'm not always prepared to talk about the Greenbelt, but I have been thinking about it a lot more recently because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to say that I have 18 copies. At my home, just sitting there.
I mean, it's good that you have at least one, right?
I'm so happy to have at least one, and I'm excited to have 18, and yeah.
Well, it's definitely a significant moment, and at least from our perspective, that group is significant for the development of this show. But it is really cool to see like how that's evolved into the projects that came from. Are you able to map yourself as a musician, like that pathway from Greenbelt to where you are now? Like, is there a logical through line for you there?
You mean, like, I could maybe see my songwriting developing?
Yeah.
Or just being brave enough to... Because, I mean, we were kind of talking before about I Make Earthquakes, which was always my, you know, little songs that I'd write on the side, which is what turned into Rooms. So maybe even then I wasn't really brave enough to play those songs or, you know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, but probably be better to draw it.
where's the piece
I'm kind of
paper?
Born into, like, yeah,
clutter. What you mentioned, you know, the confidence to kind of, like, take those songs and make them into Rooms. What was kind of, like, the turning point where you're just like, oh, like, I like these enough to make this into something else?
I think at some point I had enough songs. And actually, it was with my sisters. We were all living in this house together. And we decided to make a rockier version of I Make Earthquakes. And then we thought, well, we're going to call it, we'll call it Rooms. But I think I decided after we did that for a little bit that I wanted to try to release music, because I Make Earthquakes I didn't put anything out under that. Like, I didn't make anything material to give away or whatever. So that's probably the first thing, was just putting all the songs up there and then deciding. So yeah, the first two albums were really just all the songs that I'd written over the years compiled into two albums, re-recorded, and yeah.
Did you still get, like, that nerves of putting that up for everyone?
Like, yeah, and I think at the time it felt like a very completed project, because it was just this huge amount. It kind of feels like when you write, you can't keep writing until you do something with what you have in a weird way.
Yeah.
So it was a huge moment for me, I guess, just to be able to move on from that mountain of songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like you don't want to move on and do anything new until that's sort of sorted and out of the way.
Yeah, and then I guess I just waited a long time and then ended up writing more songs, and I didn't think I would put out an album again after those two, but then, I mean, this happened.
There you go.
I went through some hard things and some complicated things, and I always say that I write because it helps me get through things, and I would say that this is a collection of those moments. And
a tale as old as time. Write what you know about.
Yeah.
How did you go from this being, you know, sort of, as you're saying, like, songs you're writing on the side, to, like, how did you put together Rooms as, like, a band instead of a side project? Like, how did you become a group of people who play songs together?
Well, I mean, I think almost all of the people in Rooms are from the Greenbelt, first of all. The Greenbelt kind of dissolved in 2010 to 2012, on and off, kind of restarted, and then I think we had our last tour in 2010. So it's the same folks I've always been playing music with, and we had started playing I Make Earthquake shows. We played a lot of I Make Earthquake shows, and then... I don't know. It's just what it is now. It's just evolved to this after 15 years or however many years it's been. Yeah.
Cool. Well, why don't we hop to another song? Is there an artist you want to play next that maybe you can tell us a little bit about before
I wish I had that list. We can play one of my sister Katie's songs.
Sure.
Maybe Yours Truly is a nice song.
Sure.
Let's actually love this song.
Do that. Another title track, so we're two for two
there
on title tracks. This is by Kathleen Lockhart from, as we said, the record Yours Truly. Yours Truly.
We're up here on this mountaintop. We're out there by the shore. We get free in the city lights. We play among the storm. Wild and unruly. Love from yours truly. Have a dance for the ones you miss. Go ahead and go with it. By the time you would notice, they will clip your wings. On command, they will demand from you everything. thing. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. We're out there in the desert sun. We ride among the waves. We're set free in the wilderness, playing day to day. Wild and unruly, love from yours truly. Have a dance for the ones you miss. Go ahead and go with it. So bright it's blinding, so it's always dark. Too much of the rainbow will eventually break your heart. Every color movement thrown from the lights. When you follow maps to nowhere, the future looks so bright. And by the time you would notice, they will clip your wings. Command, they will demand from you everything. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me.
Yours Truly by Kathleen Lockhart, formerly known as Katie and the Lycan, here on the Vancouver Mixtape, where we're talking with Besh from Rooms, and that's your sister.
Yeah, that's one of my sisters.
Mm-hmm. And family seems to be, I mean, just looking at the people you've made music with, it seems like that must have been a big thing for you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't know a lot of folks that have adult siblings in their life interested in the same things as them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things that's unique about us. We're all into music. We all like the same aesthetic. We're all, you know, so in those ways, it's kind of lucky, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always like the greatest because it can also create tensions. But
yeah.
I think that overall, I'm just really grateful.
And sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, like, what does that dynamic look like when you're, because like you can, it's always different writing or like doing a creative project with friends versus family. But I don't know, are you able to get through that unscathed for the most part?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like people define themselves based on who they're around, and you find, you know, things about yourself that are different from them. Or I don't know, like maybe we've spent our whole lives defining ourselves by trying to be different than them or something. I don't really know. It's kind of a weird thing. But yeah, I mean, they're both so talented and awesome, and yeah.
Yeah, it's something, I mean, I can't say that, you know, like my sister and I both like reading or whatever, but it's not necessarily, like, it's not that same sort of, like, active interest where we're both sort of creating, trying to create similar things, I guess, or collaborating to create something. So that's
I feel like everything kind of overlaps in that way. Like, I mm-hmm. love Nikki's bass playing. That's my other sister, Nicole.
Yeah.
And I always know that her bass part will be the one that I am going to cherish the most, or it's going to make me feel like it's hitting that the way I want it to. So yeah, I don't know. My sister Katie made these lemon ginger turmeric ice cubes that have been in my freezer. They're out, Katie, by the way, if you're listening. But anyway, yeah, so yeah, everything's overlapping.
Cool. Jamie, you wanted to maybe ask about creative process.
Yeah, I'm always so interested with how different artists like write differently. And there is a really clearly defined aesthetic with your music. There's a, like, it's a really intimate setting, especially on this record. Is that something you sought out, or is that just how it kind of came together with the recording and writing process? Is just what felt the most, I guess, appropriate with the types of song that you're writing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the songs just kind of happened the way they happened. Let me just take a look here at the list. Yeah, I mean, again, everything's so self-referential and experiential. Like, it's just all based on experience. So, like, I look at You'll Be at Home, and I just think about the months I was dreading going back to work after my maternity leave, because I just, like, didn't know what that was going to look like. And you're so anxious, and you're so, you know, like, there's like things that I couldn't really, like, get over, that were kind of choking me up, that I was able to get over, I feel like, from, like, playing that song, writing that song, working it out, playing it over and over again. Yep. I don't even need to hear it now, and I feel so much better, but, like, how else would I have gone back to work? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real sort of therapeutic tone to a lot of the songs, where, yeah, it's clear that you're, like, you're writing this song maybe as an exercise, or a way to work through something, or to think out a problem, or to even just, like, sing about it for a little bit, because putting it out there and speaking it can often help, maybe not solve it, but help weather it, if nothing else.
Yeah, I feel like You'll Be at Home, for example, I couldn't even sing it without crying the first, like, 15 times. I mean, there's a lot of songs on there that I can hardly sing without crying. So some of them are still so recent. But, yeah, it can be really intense, because it's hard for me when I'm playing live. I try not to picture what the song's about, because I'll just go there and I'll just break apart.
Yeah.
So.
Now, do you, when these kind of things, when things that inspire your songs happen, do you, like, this feels kind of silly to ask it like this, but, like, do you automatically be like, oh, yeah, this will be a song at one point? Or do you just, like, are you writing songs and you're like, I'm going to write about this once you've started the process of writing songs? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I feel like, I mean, the second batch of songs that kind of made me realize, oh, I got to do another album. Yeah, they're all so recent still. And I feel like I just went to the guitar like I needed to, like, habitually.
Right.
Because even if I was just playing, like, I think most of the songs are, like, G and E, so I probably just strum the same chords I always strum, and then, yeah, it's kind of funny.
I mean, if they work, they work, right?
They work, and, you know, I've been, I got to play in my partner Enzio's band last weekend, and I know his chords now, which nice. I just think is, like, so lovely to associate, like, a clump of chords with a certain person in their songs, because people don't really stray that far,
right? Yeah,
you know,
you find that, like, home base, and you just, like, can't,
it's like a thumbprint,
live there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely. Like, all of Enzio's F sharps and C sharps are, like, anyway.
Well, and I mean, like, that's something you can hear in, like, even, like, I'm as his partner, I'm sure you have a much more, like intimate and detailed knowledge of what those sounds and those chords are, but I mean, we've been listening to his work since Half Chinese, right? And
yeah.
So you can, in listening to the Leon Patriz stuff, like, there's a through line, right? Like, you can hear it's the work of the same person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
On that note, should we play some of
let's play
music?
Something of Enzio's.
Cool.
Awesome.
We have stuff from his record Gravity Season or Virtual Reality, or we can go back to that Half Chinese. I've got all of them ready to go.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. Yeah, why don't we play Carry On? Is that on there?
I believe so. Just a sec.
No, maybe it didn't make it. Unless it's, we scroll down. Okay, we could try... Eclipses is nice.
Eclipses on Virtual Reality.
I'm just looking at the list, yeah.
Yeah. No problem.
Cool. This is Eclipses by Leon Patriz from Eclipses.
Thank you.
Eclipses by Leon Patriz from the record Virtual Reality, as we're here talking to a bandmate of Enzio, who is the alter ego of Leon Patriz, Besh, who is here to talk about Rooms and all sorts of other music. Yeah, I was wondering, there were three I think videos out with the new album.
Oh yeah.
What was it like to put? Were you involved in shooting those videos? You're in them.
Did most of the shooting.
Yeah.
We were just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
trying to make videos out of our concepts with our limited skills. But yeah. I mean, we're getting better every time. So.
Well, and it's pretty great to be able to just like go do that.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
I guess
yeah.
It's not that new a thing to be able to shoot your own music video, but it still seems more accessible than it's ever been.
Yeah, I've always loved doing video stuff.
Is that something that you've tried to work in with previous projects on a regular basis, or is it?
Not as much for some reason. I don't know why. I did my first degree in video, actually, and I've always been drawn to it, and I don't know how I lost that. It's really weird. I guess the green belt just took over, and I detached from it.
Right.
But I really like that it's back and that we're having fun and we're making stuff. So hopefully we'll have some more videos coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are less likely to get buried in a garbage dump as well.
Yes.
Right?
So,
there's that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's a field trip to Vancouver waste facility. Yeah? Let's go.
I mean, I will ask him where you put them, where exactly they were thrown out. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just draw a picture of where I think they are.
Yeah. Treasure map.
Like eight stories of garbage piled on top of the Greenbelt LPs.
And you know what? A song about retrieving the lost EPs might be just as good as actually recovering
them. That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's another experience to write your way out of, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm thinking about that Greenbelt song about Garbage Island.
No.
A heart the size of Texas now. Just like some. But yeah.
It's the home of all the Greenbelt LPs.
That was one of the last songs, and that's where they ended up.
Wow.
Wow, so, wow, the poet, it's prophetic almost.
It's just
right?
Like kind of infinity circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really funny because that first song we played, Don't Be Yourself, is about somebody who mm-hmm. I haven't talked to in a decade. And there's no beef or anything. Like, we just fizzled out and it got sour and we've moved on. But the other day, that person started following me on Facebook and then bought the album.
Wow.
And I was like, holy infinity loop.
Mm-hmm.
Things just come back.
Like
continuously.
Of anxiety. Just like, oh, do they know that song is about this?
No, but I just thought it was like so quirky of them to
right.
get my attention
and then
purchase it.
Yeah. Be like, just so you know, I'm buying it. I'm going to like it first. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well. Yeah. I mean, we're sort of talking about things coming back around and the maybe like themes running through your work. One of the big themes I've always sort of identified with and picked out in a lot of the various bands' recordings and stuff you've put out is like a real focus on labor and a real focus on like the power of the worker, this, but also like how people should be treated. How do you come to that? Is that just is that like family values? Is that like life experience? Like where does that come from in you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's family values, but I feel like working in coffee shops, wanting to tour, working two jobs at a time, like you just get a very good transparent glimpse at the reality of like what you are in those scenarios and how you're valued. And
yeah
I don't know, we tried to organize JJ Bean back in like 2010 or 11, and it was just so amazing to me like how blatantly evil the owners of that company I mean, it's just like wow, you know. But anyway, yeah, so
if people don't have to deal with a unified workforce, they are going to do everything they can
yes.
to prevent that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But they had an opportunity to, I thought they had an opportunity to do something cool.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of expanding to, like, 400 stores, they could have, I don't know, they just, yeah.
It's just such a
sad.
It's like a layup PR win too, you know? Like, I don't know. But what do I know? I'm not rich. I don't own businesses.
The funny thing is, one of the main culprits of why we wanted to organize J.J. Bean ended up getting called out at Matchstick, and they organized.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no way!
So if you do want to get coffee at an organized coffee shop, you can go to Matchstick. There's a whole campaign. It was pretty intense, but I thought, it's just so interesting. It's the same stories, different people, but the same, mm-hmm. like, power over. So.
No.
Yeah, well, I think that it's easy to see how that becomes, like, it doesn't take working very long to see how unfair it can be and how the systems are set up to benefit the capital holders and the owners instead of the workers themselves.
Yeah, they really were. I hear that. I think labor laws have changed a lot since then, even.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have social media, which makes it a lot easier to, like, the whole totally. Campaign for Matchstick was on Instagram, so yeah. it was like, yeah, everyone absolutely. Could read, like, what was happening.
Totally. Yeah, I used to work at Matchstick, and so did my partner, who was came forward in that campaign.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So yeah. Yeah, coffee shops will, well, and any business will exploit workers as much as it possibly can to make money. That's kind of the way the system's set up, I guess. Boo.
Boo.
Anyway, off of that labor tangent, should we play some more money? Or some more music? Should we play some more money?
Yeah, we're kind of doing the opposite of making money right now. That's really nice.
Let's get these people paid, huh?
Okay, let's see here. How about we play... Should we do an underpass song?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
Which one do we have here?
Come Down, Do You Fall?
Yeah, let's do that one off of Red Reflection, yeah. They're down in California right now. We miss them. Hopefully they can come back soon.
All right, here we go. How Do You Fall from Red Reflection by Underpass on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM. Do You Fall by Underpass from Red Reflection here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. It's me, Jesse, with Jamie.
Hi.
And Besh. Hello. Oh, you said hello. Yeah, we just heard from Underpass, which is made up of members of Rooms. I don't know if we've like gone out and done the whole who are these people we've talked about who are in the band entirely, because we've mentioned Enzio, and we've mentioned your sister. Is that it?
In Rooms.
Yeah.
I think for a long time my friend Caitlin played guitar. And then my friend Dan Lone has historically sang with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend Ellis was playing the drums for a while. Alex, who's the singer in Underpass, has been filling in while we try to find a drummer. So he's non-committal to being the drummer, but he's been playing with us, helping out, saving the day.
That's how you get them, right? That's how you get a drummer.
Yeah, I mean, our next show was supposed to be my birthday, so I don't see how he could possibly back out of drumming for that. But, I mean, you know, maybe he... hopefully he won't. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. But no, in Underpass, it's Alex and Marita and Dan and Nikki. So half, 50%
mm-hmm.
are in Rooms. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Dan is probably... like, so my first exposure to you and your music and to Green Belt, and that was through Bad Fate.
Okay.
Because I interviewed them for a magazine article or something. And I ended up going to a show at... the mansion, I want to say. And, yeah, I think Greenbelt or some permutation of Greenbelt were playing shows there. Anyway, just a trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
I didn't have a question anything. I was just reminiscing. Sorry.
Since you've had, like, a pretty, like, long career in Vancouver's music scene, How have you seen it evolve over time? Aside from the fact that like those kids bring new music types that we've certainly noticed over the last bit, but is there anything that you picked up as the scene itself has kind of changed and evolved that has piqued your interest?
You know, I feel like I've dipped out quite a bit and then re-entered. And sometimes it feels like you have to start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I've always felt like there's always so many levels, I feel like, and I don't even try to, like, break through those because I don't know. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I just feel like there's so many big amps and so many dude bands.
Yeah.
And there's so much money out there, but it seems like they always get it all. And then, I don't know. I just... it's always kind of the same. I know there's amazing things happening.
Right.
I know there's always going to be scenes under scenes under scenes, and totally. I love that about music. I've always liked to just take a space and create a show or make a show out of nothing. So, I mean, I know people are doing that, and it's great. And, yeah, I'm really excited about local music right now. Mm-hmm. I love the band Soyjoy.
Mm-hmm.
They're also on my list, and they're playing a pretty important fundraiser on the 27th.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they're playing a Green Auto.
Mm-hmm.
Should we play one of their songs?
Yeah.
Since we somehow got to this.
What about them is it that you...
I mean, besides being, like, very 90s, they're just, like, so radical and... open, which I think is cool. We played with them last weekend, and I love all their songs. Their songwriting is, I'm just like blown away that someone so young could be so great at songwriting.
Well, and
I was just glued.
Literally every single episode of this show that we have done for the last like 3 years has been like, these 18-year-olds are doing absolutely incredible things. Like, this is wild.
Well, and with Soyjoy, you say, like, they are quite young, but they've also been putting out great stuff for a long time already.
Yeah, they have so many releases. So it's many intimidating. Releases.
Yeah. So you had Metal Dragons and Pine Cones and Seashells on your list. Do you have a preference?
Let me see here. Are they both on there?
Yeah, they're both on the Reach.
Yeah, maybe EP. Metal Dragons.
Cool. All right, so from Soyjoy, this is Metal Dragons.
Fly around the midnight periphery of your young ocean.
Right, that was Soy Joy with Metal Dragons off the Reaching EP. You listen to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. They've got a show coming up. That was the one that we were just alluding to. That is on Friday, January 27th, with number one special, Soy Joy, Lilux and the Apocalypse, TJ Felix and the Joy Soys. Suspicious. That's at Green Auto. Yeah, it's $15 to pay what you can. Doors at 7, show at 8. Are you going to go to that?
I hope to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not been to a show yet at Green Auto, but I've seen posters popping up everywhere with all sorts of shows that I want to go to that are happening there. So
yeah, it's lovely. It's a really nice venue. So
PPE is strongly encouraged, that show, just in case. But yeah, you find more about that, I guess, on the Soy Joy Instagram. They were sharing a story for that. So it's @SoyJoyMusic. See if we can find it, maybe share it on our socials as well.
Yeah, we are here with Besh from Rooms, where we've been talking about all sorts of things: labor, exploitation, music, bandmates, history, family. It's been all over the place.
Yeah, did you just announce that you were Year of the Rabbit? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a big year for me and all the other rabbits out there. So I also found out I'm a fire rabbit today. So
I've always thought there's something fiery about you. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I guess I technically am also a fire rabbit too then.
No, I guess so.
Because we're both 87 babies, right? Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you're fire. I don't know what element. I don't know how you figure that part out. Do you?
I read that it had to do with the number that your birth year ended in, but would just be the same as your animal. So maybe I'm wrong. That's based on very quick Googling. I'm not professing to be any sort of zodiac expert.
Fake scientist Jesse over here.
That's me. we have been talking about your newest album, Don't Be Yourself. It's I'm obviously struggling to come to exactly the idea I'm trying to get across. But listening to it really I felt like I was like sitting in your living room listening to you sing the songs to me. Like, it felt very personal and intimate. And I wonder, like, is that just the way you write songs, or is that like a specific thing you were trying to do with this record, or did that just happen this record?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I feel like a lot of the last couple years I've been like lullabying my kid, so sure. Maybe that does have something to do with it, some kind of indirect influence.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted it to sound just like, yeah, I guess kind of intimate. Enzio added his guitar parts, which are my favorite guitar parts in the whole world. And I felt like those were enough in a lot of circumstances. So I guess it is like really raw, and the lyrics are very direct. So yeah, I don't know. It could have been the little, like, cabin-esque recording studio we used in East Van. And everything just, like, nothing needed to be too loud or too blown out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself writing music, like, the type of music that you listen to a lot of? Or is it just what comes out of you?
Yeah, I think so. I have a hard time finding other music like mine for some reason. But I do tend to, like, sort of confessional reality based. I don't know. It just depends on what you. I guess I like lots of different music, actually.
There's something about like the hyper literal lyrics that it, like, even if it's a specific narrative or story, for whatever reason, is so much more captivating, right? Because you as a listener just have to propel yourself into whatever it is that you are saying and like find something relatable in something that is incredibly specific. I mean, maybe you're not polling your audience this way, but like, have people said that they've shared experiences that you've outlined in your songs before? Is that something you've connected with other people on?
Yeah, I think people have brought that up before. I was talking to Chris on his show, Chris Riffick's show, and he brought up that song of mine, "Let's Play Getting Closer,"
mm-hmm.
which is about, like, anxiety and, like, trying to make the first move in intimacy when you're, you know. But he kind of, like, described that to me as, like, that was what he, it just, like, nailed exactly, like, what he's experienced. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Because
I think, like, leading up to that anyway, I mean, nothing's special, right? Like, all of those things, we all experience them and in some way, some weird way, it sort of can resonate with everyone to some degree.
Yeah. Everyone's experience is unique, but also has happened so many different times. And
exactly.
Happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of nice, too, hearing, like, somebody else's take or descriptor of, I don't know, it's kind of like why social media is so good is because, or, like, why it's so popular is because somebody will describe, like, a really, like, niche way of feeling or niche experience in a really unique way and be like, oh, yeah, that's exactly it.
I'm sure that a whole bunch of late bloomers were like, you know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of, yeah, anyway, it's a funny subject position, but,
yeah. Do you have a favorite song on the record?
Let's see here.
I'll pull up the list again.
I mean, Laying in Lavender was really, helped me a lot in my grieving for my friend Travis, who passed away. I wrote that after learning a little bit about grief and loss through, like, a narrative perspective and how it's okay to let the person exist in your day-to-day and refer to them and to be honest about how present they are. So that, for me, was really powerful. Let's see what else. I Get Pulled In, a song about isolation and extreme loneliness when you become a parent. Your friends just basically disappear. It's kind of a crazy... But yeah, that's just about, like, literally laying there, staring at the wall. I mean, exactly how I say it in the song. It's like wondering, you know, what are they doing? What are they doing? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't need to say the lyrics. but trying to describe, like, what that's like is, like... Anyway, yeah, so...
Yeah. Cool. Well, would you rather listen to Laying in Lavender or I Get Pulled In? Or a different one entirely?
We can listen to I Get Pulled In.
Cool.
Sorry.
Officially the longest song of the night, folks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's about going home for lunch on my lunch break and then just, like, getting pulled into, you know, being there and not wanting to go back to work, basically.
See, that is an extremely relatable experience. Yeah. I've got out for lunch. I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to do part two of today. I'm good to go.
it's a real feeling.
It's a real feeling.
All right.
Cool. Let's pull it up.
Here it is. I Get Pulled In.
Let's get pulled in.
Everyone will know how to describe that now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't wanna leave you again.
I get pulled in from the record Don't Be Yourself by Rooms here on the Vancouver Mixtape. We're joined by Besh. We have been all hour. We've been talking about so many different things. You can find podcasts of our show, past episodes, at cgsf.ca, and occasionally when we get around to uploading them, also on the places most people get podcasts, like Apple Podcasts and Google Play and all that. So check there, and you'll be able to find past episodes. We're also live right now on cgsf.ca. And we've been all night, we've been finding segues and missing our off-ramps to plug the music that we've been secretly wanting to play all night. Besh shared before the show that there were some unreleased Loose Tights singles. Not singles, there's three of them. I guess they're just unreleased tracks that you were excited to play to maybe, you know, get things shaken up out there in the universe, and maybe get things rolling on maybe getting these put out somewhere, maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be nice. We have to play a Loose Tights song.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been sitting on these mixes for, I don't know, it must be like 8 years or something, and we've made attempts through the years to contact Stephen Hamm, who recorded for us, and he's been totally down to do it, and then we lose touch, and then we get busy, and anyway, so yeah, we're putting it out into the universe for ourselves to do something do something with these recordings.
Yeah, and yeah. There's three of them, so...
There's three. You pick whichever track you want to play.
Cool.
It's totally random.
Well, it's not totally random because I have exercised my own decision power.
okay.
So it's I've chosen Bodies because I wanted to hear the track Bodies, and I think you out there will probably enjoy this too.
Jesse, also hoping it is a Drowning Pool cover.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm ready to just listen to a great track by Loose Tights instead. This is an unreleased track called Bodies here on the Vancouver Mixtape. unreleased Loose Tights track called Bodies here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We've been here all hours with all hour, only 1 hour, with Besh from Rooms. We've been talking all about the new record, Don't Be Yourself, and just generally, I think having a good time. I've been having a good time.
Thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
It's been great to have
you on
the show.
Thanks for playing that track.
Of course.
That was really fun to hear.
Yeah.
I think more people would enjoy hearing it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Whose arm do we need to twist to release it?
Yeah. Thanks.
And unfortunately, though, that's kind of the top of the hour. That's about it. So, Besh, where can people find your music? Where can people buy it? Where can people support you, follow you, etc.?
Yeah, I'm on Bandcamp. You have to go to Rooms with three O's.
Three O's.
Because it's just the name that everyone has. And I have a tape on No Sun Recording, so you can go to their shop and order the tape there.
We have a copy of it here in the studio. You can hear what it sounds like. It's a real cassette. It's pink.
That's with physical media right there.
A lovely mint green case. Sure, I'll call it mint. It's beautiful. And it sounds great. And, yeah, support Besh and Rooms. Go buy the record. And you can get it on Bandcamp. As we said also. Okay, well, that's about it for this show, the Vancouver Mixtape. We'll be back probably next week. And until then, just take care of yourself. Go to Rooms with three O's, rooms.bandcamp.com. And yeah, thanks for listening. Take care of yourself. Bye.